So going, I want to stay on the theme that we've been going with, but I want to talk about the heavenlies and the connection to the blood of Jesus and the heavenlies and why that's so important. So let me just pray. Holy Spirit, thank you. I just thank you for a manifestation of the presence of God. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you touch bodies tonight. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you touch bodies tonight. And I thank you, Lord, you are faithful. I thank you, those who wait upon you will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings of eagles. I thank you right now for that in the name of Jesus. I thank you for a spirit of renewal, activation. I thank you for awakening. I thank you for revival. I thank you, Lord God, that you actually knit together the dry bones. We thank you for your word going out and signs and wonders following in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to start, we're going to have a look at, as I was writing it, it's the most compact structural meta-narrative of the heavenly realms. The most compact structural, it's structural meta-narrative of the heavenly realms. If we can put the first scripture up, please. And it says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, this is not one day. Now, we're going to keep that up there. Again, this whole deferred theology. We're already seated in heavenly places. We've already come to Mount Zion. Some of you guys go, you know what? Like for me, it's just, I do like views. So if my eyes were opened up, I realize that I've got a place on Mount Zion, the amazing views. And so you've actually come to Mount Zion. So when we cultivate things in the Holy Ghost, you'll get glimpses. Like if my wife says something, it's pretty much money in the bank. She's not prone to flights of fancy, exaggeration. She doesn't. She really chooses her words very carefully. She says they're quite distilled. And so she was trying to go. We live on the edge of a hill. I wouldn't call it a mountain, but a hill. We live on a bump with some trees. And there was some stuff going on in the spirit in the house. And she says, Lord, show me what's going on in the spirit. Now, that's all she said. And she was lying in bed and she went into a full vision. And she saw that our house was on the top of a mountain with two giant eagles next to it on either side. She saw that. Now, that's not one day, that's now. Now, in regards to a lot of things, is that not all of us are seers, but we feel things. We feel darkness. You feel it. Everyone feels it differently, but sometimes you feel the glory. You feel heaven, and some of us feel Zion, and Zion is the seat of government. So this is the most compact, structural, meta-narrative that we find in Scripture. It's amazing, but you have come to Mount Zion. And this has got nothing to do with going to Israel. This has actually got everything to do with you're already seated in heavenly places. Can you imagine you started to cultivate that, meditate on, I'm in Mount Zion. And let's just say, I don't feel it. Well then, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and in Mount Zion it. Because you've got to, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, David's spirit is going to his soul. You know, I feel terrible. And the spirit's going, no, we're in Zion. There's a discipline to that. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Now, this is interesting. Jesus said in the Gospels, he says, you are a city on a hill. He wasn't talking about New Jerusalem. He's talking about people. Why does the Bible say that Jesus' body is his bride? And why does it say the New Jerusalem comes down like a bride? And you are a city on a hill. See, this is a lot more crazy. And that you are living stones being built up into a holy... You are individually the temple of the Holy Spirit, and corporately, it starts to go like shape-shifting stuff. So we're talking about the most compact structural meta-narrative of the heavenly realms. So, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the New Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. I met a couple of new angels today. Now, Are you, oh gosh. Do you ever find that God talks to you at the worst times? Like, seriously, like now? You know, and I'm like, we were just doing this mapping in this cafe north of the city. And all of a sudden this angel came in and we're like, whoa, like this. And then I sort of like, all right, I said, where's the nearest public toilet? He goes, just down there next to Subway. I said, great. Go there like this. I'm in the toilet. And the angel turns up in the toilet. We're talking a pillar of glory. If you're going to wet yourself, that's the place to do it. I'm thinking like this. I'm going, this is crazy. Why here? This is crazy. And one of the things is this. Did you know there's something so powerful about, Mike Murdoch says, the law of acknowledgement or recognition. That's the better way to put it. So what happens is Daryl recognizes the angelic, so the angelic manifests. There's something about recognizing is that you're not doing this on your own. You've got a lot of friends and you're not meant to worship them, but you can thank them. You know, it'd be scary, sort of like high five, and you feel the tissue, I'll never do that. Really crazy stuff. So innumerable company of angels. And so there's something about like you start to realize that there's those who are with you are more than those who are against you. I was in the sanctuary the other day. I'm just like occasionally you feel the old darkness trying to sort of like, you know, be a big wet blanket on your head. And I was connecting with the Lord and I just became aware of this angelic, like we're talking dudes who are higher than the ceiling. And I'm sort of like, okay, why am I such a crybaby? I've got to realize that we're talking innumerable. When the Bible says innumerable, trust me, you won't be able to count them. And so let's go to the next one, thanks. It's a structural meta-narrative, compact structural meta-narrative of the heavenly realms. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Hang on. Isn't the general assembly all people? Why didn't it go and the church? Huh. Could it be that there's an assembly that involves the living creatures? The seraphim, the cherubim, and God's people. We're starting to get really, really crazy now. Stuff that makes Narnia look like a blank page. You know? So the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Now, when people come here and go, all right, how to become a member? And like, we start laughing, you know? Because we just never think like that. We don't own anybody. You know, you get people go, I'm a member of such and such. I'm like, good for you. Do you know where all membership is? All membership of the church is kept up there. So you can you know, put on your Sunday best and present your best, sort of like brother, all that sort of stuff. Doesn't mean you're registered in heaven. It actually says the Lord knows who are His. Those who name of Christ apart from sin and iniquity. So there's a registry of the church or the ecclesia in heaven as of the firstborn. Now this is actually a major deal. Because, firstly, don't test God. It says that, don't test the Lord. But you get people and they go, how much can I get away with and still be forgiven and still scrape in? That's called stupidity and idolatry. It just is. We've all been there. Stop looking at me like super duper pious, all right? We're under grace, all right? Yeah. And we want to make that grace abound, don't we? Right? What happens is this. Is there's probably going to be a lot of people who come to Christ like on their deathbed, people who are in war that cry out to God and they're going to end up in heaven. And somehow, now this is anecdotal. I heard this. Someone went to heaven. He saw Kennedy there, John F. Kennedy. And they're like, what is he doing here? Flipping womanizer, you know, serious. And I said to an angel, someone said, when did he cry out to God? And I think it was an angel who said, between the first and the second bullet. Now, that's anecdotal, but I'm not going to say, you know, Sometimes people, they die and they haven't confessed Christ. I've heard, David Hogan tells this story where someone dies, goes to hell, cries out to God. Now, please, don't cut it this fine. Don't cut it this fine, because you roll that dice. Saying the sinner's prayer while you're flipping your feet are in lava. Like, come on. It's not working. It's appointed for man to die once. But this person dies, didn't know the Lord. I don't know what happened. And then as they got raised from the dead, they were speaking in tongues. He said, that will wreck anyone's theology. He said, the spirit world is very, very, like, we're talking like, this world is, it's fallen, but it's nothing. You know, you go, we don't know how far we've fallen, because we go, you know, you got the glory. And the glory is, I would say, a pretty manifest high watermark. But God sees glory as, what is man that you're mindful of him? He says, you crown him with glory. Glory is your hat. So we're sort of like, you know, the glory, I got a glory ministry, got a hat ministry. You know, it's like, no, we inflate and leverage things so it's self-serving. But like, so you've got this, so what I'm saying is this, there's going to be a lot of people, oh gosh, you know what, I'm just going to like step out there and like, all right. So I've encountered cloud of witnesses more than I've encountered angels. I don't know why. All right, I'm going to tell you, who wants to hear a cloud of witnesses story? All right, okay, will you ask for it? Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Some of the people, you might stumble hearing this. I don't care. It really happened. Okay, so I'm in Bali. And my daughter would have been, oh my gosh, she was like three, I think, three or four, something like that. Oh, no, four or five. And so we're in this room, right? And we're crashed out. And sometimes, now, I know this is an infuriating exercise for many of you, but some of you guys have dreams and you wake up and you know you had a dream, but you can't remember it. Whoever has that? And you feel like, almost want to go, you know, and go back into it. It doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. So I woke up going, oh, okay, something's going on. All right, breakfast. We're sitting around the table, and my daughter starts crying. She goes, I miss Grandpa Max. And I'm like, oh, that's my grandfather, right? And she knew his name was Max, because I named my son after my grandfather. She goes, I miss Grandpa Max, like this. And I'm looking at Rachel like, why? She's never met him. And then, because we know with our kids and stuff, like they say bizarre things, and you go, we're not going to write it off. Some kids, you go, oh, it's a vivid imagination, like this. Anyway, she's crying, literally crying over my grandfather, who she's never met. And I'm going, that's so strange. Had another sip of coffee, and I went back into the encounter. So I'm lying in bed in my hotel room, and my grandfather's in there. And he'd been deceased for, he knew he was going to die. He actually contacted me. He said, Todd, can you, like, I led him to the Lord years ago. He'd attend church, you know, but he didn't live for God. Just saying. He's saved. His name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Salvation is a free gift. Who thinks that's a good thing? He received it, right? And so he's basically, he rings me, no precedent. He goes, Todd, are you able to come around soon and take communion with me? And I went, sure. Thinking, that's really, really random. Like, there's never been a request close to. Went around, had communion with him. We just confessed Jesus all over again, you know, just sort of, you know. And anyway, so. And a week later, he had an operation in hospital, and he had a massive heart attack, and he died just before the operation. He knew it was coming. And so, basically, 2 years later in Bali, all of a sudden, I'm like this. I'm just going to tell you what, the language will be, you know, maybe not adequate enough, and if we lose people who love us, see you later. It literally happened. So I'm like in bed, I'm in the spirit, and he's standing there and he's really happy. And he goes, you know, it's great in heaven. Is this what he's saying to him? Because he's in heaven, right? I don't ask to see these people. They, you know, it's a thing. And he goes, it's so great being in heaven. He goes, I get to be a Christian. And I'm like, my theology goes, like this. I said, you're in the glory, you idiot, you know? Like. He goes, I get to be a Christian like this. And then the Lord comes behind him and is standing next to him like this. And he's communicating without the moving of the mouth. This is what he said. He said, many people, it's Holy Ghost, eh? Come on. Many people, they do not live for me, but I'm gracious. They come into heaven. And what happens is when they realize they have squandered their whole life living for themselves and not for me, there's a level of remorse. But God the Father is so merciful, they have a quick, accelerated, condensed discipleship phase. Is that nuts? It's Jesus told, I was looking at him face to face, he's telling me this. And so you go, the firstborn who are registered in heaven, you know, some of you guys, you're going to be teaching and discipling people in eternity. What about all the aborted babies? What about them? I don't have a full handle on it, but this stuff's real. Now, let me just, for the record, I never talk to people of deceased. I never have, never will. But when they appear to me in a dream, I get secrets about people, as does Daryl. And it's because since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he's bearing witness that God got it. He was saved, yet as through fire. And he just goes, I get to live like a Christian like this. And Jesus says, he said, the Father's so merciful, they feel a sense of remorse and they get to actually learn about the cross, the blood, all the different things. Isn't that amazing? And so there's going to be a lot of people in eternity that didn't live for God and they're spiritually emaciated. And you go, but they're going to be full of glory and happy. Yeah, but their ability to receive. This is why we have to put it all on the line now. Someone quoted me and they put it on Facebook. And before I knew it was my quote, I was going to like it. And I thought, oh, that's a bit narcissistic, you know. But I did, I like it. Oh, like that's real. Oh, that's me. But it said, earth is not your destination, it's your opportunity. And so this is our chance. You know, like, what are we saving? I'm going, shall I say that? What am I saving it for? You know, I mean, it's a time and a place. But that's now. And so to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, right? And so at the end of the day, now this is very, very, really nuanced because the Bible clearly says God is judge, pause and meditate, right? Then it clearly says the Father has given all judgment to the Son. And then it clearly says through the Apostle Paul, do you not know the saints will judge the world? Now that is very layered because it says earlier in Hebrews, it talks about the most compact meta-narrative of doctrine. It talks about the laying on of hands, the doctrine of baptisms, resurrection from the dead, you know, repentance of not laying us out again, a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, laying on of hands, baptisms. Talks about resurrection from the dead and eternal judgments. So you've got this crazy dimension. And this is not in the future. This is available in the now. You can have, God can show you the angelic. You can encounter the cloud of witnesses. I mean, like I said, I don't get it, right? I mean, you know, it's a thing. It's happened more than once. It has a lot more times than once. And so this is the heavenly dimension. And so it says in Ephesians that you've been raised up and seated with Christ. You're already there. You're already seated. And so you go, well, what's stopping me? Is that cultivating that consciousness that you're already there. That's how you walk in the Spirit. You get more aware of there than here until there becomes here. That's what thy kingdom come, thy will be done looks like. Next one, please. Oh, sorry. To the spirits of just men made perfect. Perfection is there's a provision in Christ and then through obedience, you grow into that. And so it says in Hebrews that, you know, Samson, right? Samson, crazy giftedness, but boy, you know, a bit of a lusty loo, wasn't he? Really? Seriously? Like, how many times? She's going to cut your lunch, mate. Can you not see that? You know, and she put on a full tantrum and all this, and so it ends up saying, cut my hair, and next thing you know, if you lose spiritual battle, you lose your eyesight, don't you? You know? It's what happens. And so, and there's something that Samson carries, the spirit of might, that if you're inspired by him, but learn from his lesson to walk in purity and move in power, there's a chance that your calling will fulfill his legacy. That's crazy, because they would not be made perfect without us. So here, we're talking about the spirits of just men made perfect. So it's very, very interesting. Hey, be careful how you treat people, because someone might be inspired by you and carry on something you never intended to. What about the guy who, George Jeffries, famous evangelist in England, moved in the power of God. Reinhard Bonnke goes around to his house, right? I don't know how that worked out. And he ends up laying hands on him, imparting, like pulls him to the ground and just laying hands on him, prays like this. And Reinhard Bonnke sort of leaves in a daze. I think he was a Bible college student. And then he like did a day's journey or something, and then he read the papers the next day, he died. George Jeffries died. He passed his full mantle to him, right? And you think about all the souls that Reinhard led to the Lord, that goes into George Jeffries' legacy, reward. They would not be made perfect apart from us. That's why discipleship's such a big deal. Multiply yourself, okay? Next one. Here we go. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, this is interesting. Right at the very end, it's given the reason, gives us the reason and the substance of why we can access all those heavenly realms. If instantly you are transported into heaven, there's a chance you'll be like Isaiah and you'll be aware of your character or lack thereof. You'll be aware of maybe potty mouth. That's what he said. Woe for me, for I'm a potty mouth. And I'm surrounded by potty mouths. I am undone. Okay. And so what happened is that the seraphim put a coal on his mouth. Like, I mean, that's going to hurt. Can you imagine? They'd be tempted to swear, hey? And so, your sin's purged. He's like, got to do another one. All right, here we go. What are you doing? No. Anyway, and so you've got is it there's something sort of like defeated the purpose, isn't it? There's something so powerful, because in this season God wants us to be utterly absorbed with and conscious of the blood of Jesus. You cannot be self-conscious and blood-conscious at the same time. You cannot. It's like you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be blood-conscious and self-conscious. We need to be delivered from self-consciousness, because you can't. We've all seen that, if you got a power board and you pull it out the power and then you loop it around and plug it into itself. You can't. It's not going to get any power. You can't change yourself. No one can change themselves. It says a leopard can't change the color of his, change his spots. And all we got to do is we got to yield to the Lord and focus, and he does the changing. Can someone say amen? So you've got here the blood of sprinkling, and it actually speaks. And the blood of Jesus, so the blood of Abel, we won't put that scripture up, but basically is that Abel's blood said demanded justice for against Cain. And so what happens, it talked about, and actually, again, it defiled the earth so hectically. You know, the innocent bloodshed defiles the earth. Think about what's going on in the ground. That we're meant to work, we're meant to live from heavenly places, walk on the earth, and actually bless the earth. This is a whole new deal. But it's not, but it's just we're just becoming aware of it, you see. And so, but Jesus' blood says this. It says, acquitted, forgiven, innocent. And we're talking like, and not just that, in this context, the blood of Jesus in the heavenly realm says, welcome, come in, you belong. That's why it says in Ephesians, we are accepted in the beloved. You go, hang on, Here's a good one. So I first got saved about 1980, end of 1987. That's a long time ago. And I was rough. I've said it many times. I was 18 going on 30. City miles, all right? Anyway, then the power of God was touching me and all this, and the person led me to the Lord, Jackie, we're in a kitchen. And she goes, "You've got unforgiveness." Like this, you know? And I wasn't that sort of person. I don't sort of like, when something bad happens, I sort of get on with it, or I forget. People go, you struggle with unforgiveness? No, I actually forget what people say and do to me. All right, that's actually not a bad thing sometimes. Anyway, and so she goes, "You got unforgiveness," like this. And I'm sitting there like at the table. I was 18. And I'm just going through this, getting out the muck rake. And I'm going through the list of, you know, wrongs and that. I'm like, I'm drawing a blank like this. And it's like the Lord goes, and then Jackie goes, "You haven't forgiven yourself." Spirit of God comes up on me like this, just tears wet up in my eyes, and I realize I hadn't forgiven myself. So a lot of people don't forgive themselves. So they punish themselves way after the Lord's completely exonerated them. And so when it says we're accepted in the beloved, why do we reject ourselves? And so you're out here having this sort of like this wrestle with yourself, and the gates of heaven are open there going, "Come in, hang on, I'm just fear and self-loathing, I'll be there in a minute." You don't understand the blood. I mean, I don't think we have any idea of how powerful the blood is. Remember we talked about, you know, if Hitler or someone like that repented just before they, you know, died. But it's not that simple. Yes, if they repented, they'd be instantly forgiven. But repentance is also a place, because Esau could not find a place of repentance. So he sort of diligently with tears. Okay? He's so in bondage, he couldn't even find the place of repentance. Okay? And so that's a spiritually nuanced or discernible statement. And so we're accepted in the beloved. And Jesus says, "Come in, come into heaven. My blood says good things about you. It speaks better things than that of Abel." But if we rejected ourselves, don't forgive ourselves, what a con. And so the blood of Jesus actually says, "Welcome into the heavenly realms. You belong, you're accepted." And this is why, this is such a big deal. Now, what we're gonna do is we're gonna jump straight to Revelation 12. That's always a lovely passage of scripture. Don't read it just before bed. Too late. All right. "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.'" He's been cast down. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death." Next one. "Therefore," now, knowing that the enemy's been cast down, okay? Now, the book of Revelation isn't chronological, all right? Because the fall of Babylon happens in 11, 17, and 18, and it's like fallen, judged, fallen. You know, it doesn't make sense. And so it's a series of visions. And Jesus, when they were doing miracles, and he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." So that we need revelation from the Holy Spirit about what the deal is. But I'm going to put it in some context. "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea." Very interesting. "For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time." So what's interesting is this, is that you guys know, like I said, like, you know, like beginning in 2019, I saw Noah up on the wall there. And it wasn't the data projector, okay? And then what happened was I saw a door closing between heaven and earth, and I heard Revelation 12:12, and it says the devil's been cast down, woe to the earth and its inhabitants. And I'm like, okay. Now that's back in 2019, and I preached about it openly. Look what's happened since then. Do you know how weird it feels to go, okay, I saw Noah? You feel like a twit. You do. But you know, like the prophetic, right? This. If you think you want to be prophetic and sort of like, you know, I hear from God. I'm going to deliver the word. Do you know what? Here's your ego. And you say stuff and you go, I'm just saying, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Here it is. And it's all out of context until it comes to pass. And so I didn't want to share on it. And so what happens is this, is that I'm like, that was a scripture. And at beginning 2019, so everything happened at the beginning of 2020. So all 2019, we taught on renewing the mind of repentance nearly the whole year. So if you're not prepared here, you'll be not prepared anywhere because we're preparing people. And I didn't know COVID. I did watch the John Hopkins things at the end of 2019 going, this is creepy, hectic, probable, okay? So the point I want to make is this. At the beginning of that, it says, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. And so what we got, this is really, really cool, is that at the end of it, I'm hearing this, he goes, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and its inhabitants, and the earth and the sea and its inhabitants, for the devil's been cast down, and he's got great wrath, he's got a short time. Like this. And as I'm sort of like overloading, tilt, like this pinball machine type deal, I hear the Lord say, but that's okay because you live from heaven, don't you? So this is the interesting thing. It talks about spiritual things, and 1 Corinthians is spiritually discerned, and it talks about about being born again. I'm all for routine. You know that. There's a better word for it. Disciplines, all right? And sometimes our disciplines can get pushed back a little bit later in the day sometimes. Anyway, so I'm all for that. But what happens is that it says the wind blows where it wishes. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. Some of those are born of the Spirit. And so there is something about giving ourselves over to the Holy Spirit who actually leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake, for the Lord's namesake. And what happens is that we are called to live from the heavenly dimension. It's Psalm 91. Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you dwell there. You don't visit. You dwell. It means to marry, to sit down, to make your bed. And so that's what the whole nuanced thing is. And so when we start to build in that dimension, you don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to walk in fear. You got if you diligently following the news, you'll lose your mind. So Omicron, right? Is that the name of it? Omicron? Okay. So you've got doctors in South Africa going, it's really mild, it's not worth worrying about. And then we got this the experts over here in America going, we're just cautious now, saying, there's gonna be more death. I mean, like, come on, enough already. Enough. Africa, they're saying it's like it's barely a runny nose. Why would you waste a good pandemic, hey? But what happens is a psychological operation taking place through a false prophet and lies and darkness and, you know, spewing out frog demons, all that sort of stuff, right? And so we're called to live from that dimension. Now, you heard on Sunday is that with this the communion and the access to the heavenly dimensions, I got energy. I got clarity. We like all these things we're starting up. That is supernatural. You will run. Surely the young men may fail. Well, I haven't failed yet. And it's no. It says that. But those who wait upon the Lord, and there's something supernatural taking place. But it's living from the heavens. Why is this important? I'll tell you why. Because when you get consumed with the blood of Jesus says you belong, you're clean, you're forgiven. Take your seat. You're welcome. We missed you. This is home. That's what the blood of Jesus says. And if you don't feed on the blood of Jesus and meditate on it, you're thinking about, oh, I didn't really pray today and I said some bad things the other day, like this. And the Lord's forgiven you, but you're punching yourself in the head while the doors are wide open. And so the blood of Jesus is key to accessing the heavenly realms. We're going to finish in a quarter past, and then we're just going to wait on the Lord for a few minutes and see what happens. Now, I just want to, here we go. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Revelation 7:13-15. Let's do that. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes? And where do they come from?" And I said, "Sir," this is in the book of Revelation, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who came out of the megathlipsis." That's what it is, the great pressure. "And washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. So there are the two major things that wash you is the water of the word and the blood of Jesus. And when you get into God, you're getting washed. And it says, "Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Who may ascend his holy hill? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart." And you're conscious of the blood, communion, grateful. Like seriously. I deserve hell. I do. I deserve hell. And I just go, you know, this is the power of the blood of Jesus. Again, I'm doing them. So I sort of like, I wasn't a real fan of church. Pause and meditate, eh? I mean, run one, what a joke. And I wasn't a fan, right? And so I threw the baby out with the bathwater and I started lumping church and God, and that's just not what, the way it is. So I walked away from all of it for about 2 or 3 years, and I went down a very dark road. Then I had a visitation through a dream that the whole ground where I was walking was pretty much made up of snakes and they're trying to get me. And I woke up. And I'm not kidding. First thing I said was, "Lord, cover me in the blood of Jesus." I was flipping backslid as. Now, what happened was I was so determined for destruction is that the Lord would try and speak to me like this and I'd cast it down. Like I was ruthless. And this is, and then the word of the Lord came to me and says, "He who hardens his heart falls into calamity." Okay. Get soft. All right, so anyway, what happened was I went, you know what, I used to preach, but I've really screwed up. I'm done. I'm never going to preach again. No, I'm okay with that. So I'm playing competitive tennis. So I haven't prayed for a few years. I've been just in deep darkness. And I've just come back to the Lord. The Lord led me into real deep repentance. But I thought, that's it. And what happened, I'm playing tennis. Like I was playing number one, division one. I was playing this game down at West Beach. I was playing doubles. And I was, you know, getting my drink, changing ends. Spirit of God falls on me. Like there, like, you know, tennis. Spirit of God comes to me and I hear this voice saying, because I'd pretty much gone, "You've totally blown it. And, you know, you won't be able to do the things you thought you were going to do and so on and so forth." And I'm like, okay, all right, I'm cool with that. I did. I'd sort of like worked it out in my head. Right, yep, no worries, as long as I'm saved. And then the Spirit of God came on me and he said to me like this. He goes, "I love you like you've never sinned. My plans for you have not changed." I'm like, who is this God? Who is this God? Can you believe that? I pretty much shook my fist into the heavens. I was a blasphemer. Like, shocking. And the Spirit of God comes on me like, and I'm just going, that's the power of the blood of Jesus. That's the power of the blood. And why wouldn't you be excited and rejoice? We're still so caught up in performance and dead works. And then you realize if you really catch it, you will run and not grow weary because you're so grateful. And you're going, every post is a winner from here. Can someone say amen? So no matter what you've done, the Lord says, my plans for you haven't changed. Who knows? That's good news. That's the power of the blood. You're going to have more trouble being double-minded. Double-minded people, according to James, receive nothing. Yeah, no, 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 yeah, no. You're better off being the prodigal. Don't tempt it. I want God to really reach out to me. Fall off the edge of a cliff. What happened? Anyway. The everlasting arms weren't long enough. Come on. Someone, the bottom going, oh, he's reaching out now. Great. And so, there's something very, very powerful about the blood, because you're called to live from a heavenly dimension. At the moment, if you're trying to work this all out in your head, you'll get overwhelmed. You'll get tired. And so tonight was really about going, do you know why? Is the blood says you're accepted. You have a seat waiting for you with the Lord to live from. And if you're not conscious of the blood, you go, gosh, I have had seat. I've prayed more than others. The Lord goes, enough already. You're in unbelief now. You're actually drinking your own bathwater. And it's not clean. Instead of living waters, because this is what God has for us. See, this is the mercy of God. See, you know, the angels rocked up to the shepherds in the field. And they're going bananas. He goes, you know, glory to God in the highest. And he goes, peace on earth and goodwill towards men, towards mankind. God's will towards you is good, goodwill. And so so I want you to get so consumed with the goodness and the love of God, but it's only through the blood. If you want that residing on you on the inside effortlessly as a default, you know, I need great faith. Faith works by love. But I tell you what, right now, the most precious commodity is the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. I want you to get so addicted to it. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Before you, don't open it yet. Don't open it yet. I know you love your Christmas presents. Just give it a minute. Can we just put the pads on if we can? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You know, you can be in the most impossible situation. God can deliver you like that. Like that. It's your ability to believe and receive. And when we wait on Him, we expand our ability to receive or believe and receive. You could be in the pit, and in one day He'll take you to the palace. Or from the prison to the palace. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus, and we're going to ask for an upload of energy. Now, you call it energy, the Bible calls it life. Jesus didn't say, I came to give you energy, and energy abundant, because He'd give you a red cordial otherwise. Came to give you life. Just close your eyes for a second. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. You're going to thank Him for the blood. And then you're going to ask Him for an impartation of life and energy. And we're just going to wait on the Lord for a few minutes. Now, one more thing. People are so stubborn. You don't have to receive from God. You don't have to. But I find... the Lord is smiling. He's smiling at you. And when you smile at Him, you come into agreement with what He's already doing. Because He's smiling and you're grimacing, or you're just looking blank like you're looking at a white wall. When you, by faith, smile to the Lord, what happens? You're engaging with the posture of joy, the posture to receive. You don't have to receive. You can just do your own deal. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just smile to the Lord. Seriously, just smile to Him. Repeat this after me. Jesus, I thank you for your blood. I am grateful. I will not look to myself, depend on my own efforts. I will look to your provision of the blood. And I thank you, and I bless you, and I worship you for the blood. And having faith in the blood gives me access to rivers of living water, rivers of life, rivers of pleasure, Ezekiel's river, healing, refreshment. So Lord, I choose to thank you, to receive, and I ask right now, as I wait on you, to infuse your life into me now. Just smile to the Lord. Show him your teeth. It's really that easy. Don't pray. You can smile, but you can breathe in. You're receiving now. You're in receiving mode. to. So a bit of glory here. Just put your hands out and just say, Lord, just touch me with your glory. I'm just seeing some very, very crazy things. Just expect the glory. Just expect it. Just be conscious of receiving as easy as breathing in. Just breathe it in. Just expect. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for touching us. Thank you, Lord. How big's your straw? Holy, holy, holy. One of the ways you hang out with God, be still and know that I'm God. Sing a lot of crazy stuff. All right. Get out your communion. Just thank you that he who is joined to you is one spirit with you. So because of your blood, we actually have access to everything that you've provided at Calvary. Bless this communion to our bodies in your name. Amen. Just keep the pads on a few more minutes. You guys, if you want to take a chill pill and just sit and drink a bit more.